You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And it's a late night.
It is late. So I imagine that our full length is going to get a little giddy, although we're not drinking tonight. So
yeah, that's a good point.
It won't be quite as giddy as it could be.
Right.
We're having very refreshing mocktails this evening.
So responsible of us.
It's born out of a lot of irresponsibility. I really feel like the long weekends just feel like no rules apply. So it was just kind of like, I'm at the pool all weekend. So
I'm just going to keep drinking.
Yeah. And now my body is like, please don't do it. Don't do it.
Your liver's like, I could use a break.
Yeah. My liver, my kidneys. Like I was just like, you're in your 30s now. You can't.
Yeah. I had the day off tomorrow, so I'm planning on cracking open a noon beer.
I mean, you have the day off.
Yeah,
day
I have the day off. It's the day before my birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm cracking a motherfucking noon beer tomorrow. So that's what I'll be doing. So I'm drinking my mocktail tonight.
Yeah, certainly no judgment from me. Just listen to your bodies, folks.
100%. Well, now that we've given you that little PSA about drinking, should we get into the news?
Yeah, I suppose.
If we have to, right?
I suppose that's what we're here for. So we had the most American thing that could happen on the 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. We had a mass shooting.
I know.
So, cool.
I was thinking about this because that's what my notes are on today, too. And I feel like every time we are giving the news about another one of these mass shootings, we always end up kind of giving the same sentiment over and over again. I'm like, I feel like at this point I'm just reporting the news.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like, what more can I possibly like give to?
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot except for just to honor the victims. And then also there's some things specifically with this case and this shooter that I feel like is worth mentioning.
I don't have much about the shooter because I focused on other parts of it. Do you have information about the actual person?
I'm not going to say his name on here, but
no,
but yes, I do have information around the circumstance, his circumstances, which I think are relevant because
always because we have to understand it somehow. And even though we don't want to give the killer any sort of notoriety by giving their name, I think it's also really important for us to be able to understand the backgrounds of these people and how this happened to prevent it in the future.
To be honest, I still don't know, like, I don't know any of that stuff, like personal details about him or his life, but I do know that he was known to police, he was known to be violent, and somehow still managed to legally obtain weapons, which is like
wild. You know who he looks like though?
Uh-huh.
Bran from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
I've only seen one picture and it was like of him. It was like a security cam picture.
Yeah.
But I legitimately thought it was the actor that played Bran from Game of Thrones.
And that's a whole conversation that we can have as well, where a lot of media outlets, there's this weird undercurrent of transphobia, I feel like. A lot of media outlets.
Was this
outlets,
a trans killer? Oh, okay.
No.
So I was like, wow, I missed something.
No, but he dressed in women's clothing
to escape
to disguise himself, and he had facial tattoos, and you know, so obviously this was something that he had planned, it was premeditated, but I just get this weird kind of like coded language in some articles that I read that are kind of like indicating like, is this person a trans person?
No, why are we throwing that in there? He's throwing on a disguise to get the fuck out.
Because
we don't need to. And if
they want to vilify trans people, like that's exactly what I was going to say.
Why does that add anything to the story one way or the other, unless you want to vilify?
Yeah,
that group of people?
It's weird. And it reminds me of that documentary that we watched. What was it called? Disclosure.
Disclosure, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they, you know, historically we have a history of wanting to turn trans people into villains.
Yeah. It's been a very long trope in Hollywood and things like that. So it's sad, but unsurprising. I didn't see any of that stuff. I think that that's ridiculous. And it's also just not okay. I mean, bad person or not, it's just not okay to project another person's identity onto them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so not part of the story that seems pretty absurd to me that any of that language would even be brought up. Like, no, this person was trying to disguise themselves because they did a horrible thing. So they put on women's clothing, which you've seen in a million movies before when people are trying to duck out of somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just like, focus on the fact that this person is a violent criminal who police knew were violent, who then tried to kind of like lie about that, where they're like, police had no knowledge of this person. Then they're like, actually, you totally did. And we have evidence of that. And they were like, okay, well, sure. And you're like, okay.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's get into the whole facts of the matter. This mass shooting occurred on Monday, July 4th in Highland Park, Illinois. 7 people were killed and dozens more were injured. The wounded ranged from ages 8 to 85, and all of the deceased victims were adults, which I was glad that they said that at the top of the article that I read, because not that anyone's life should be taken away, but it is especially hard when kids are involved.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of that, there was a 2-year-old child of a married couple, Irina and Kevin McCarthy, who both died. So there were 7 people who were killed in this mass shooting incident, and there were 38 people who were injured at the time that I did my research.
Right.
So it's pretty awful that both members of a couple
passed away. And this little boy, his name is Aiden. He was taken to safety by community members before his grandparents were located. And there is actually a GoFundMe up for the family. And that's where it described the events of what happened to Aiden and how he was discovered and things like that as well. It's just so, it's so upsetting that that 2-year-old is now an orphan because they went to a 4th of July parade.
Yeah.
To have a nice, fun family day together. Like, it's so upsetting.
Yeah. And, you know, the more details come out about that situation, the sadder it is, because Aiden was found underneath his father, which indicates that his father was probably trying to shield him, which is just so tragic. And that GoFundMe has raised $3 million almost at this point. The other victims of the shooting have been identified as Catherine Goldstein, 64, Jacqueline Suntime, 63, Stephen Strauss, 88, Nicholas Toledo Zaragoza, 78, who was visiting family from Mexico, and Eduardo Uvaldo, 69.
Okay, so there was one more that was unnamed this morning when I was doing my research, so it must have just come out.
I mean, just truly tragic. It was around the corner from a synagogue, and members of that synagogue said that the shooter had come in like the week prior, and the security at that synagogue, which is a sad thing to even think about, synagogues having security,
right?
But the security did pay attention. Like, he caught
their
eye.
Yeah, they noticed him a little bit. Yeah,
so
they were.
We don't know if this was targeted.
or if he was kind of like scoping it out, scoping and kind of seeing. Yeah, yeah, I know that he was standing on the roof of a building nearby that was overlooking the parade route. So maybe he was kind of scouting out maybe where the best location would be. Sad to think about details like that, but
yeah,
also very scary because synagogues have been so targeted.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's very scary. So the shooter in this attack is a young white guy, shocking, and he has been charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder, and the attack is being called premeditated and calculated. He faces life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Authorities in Highland Park have said that he planned the attack for weeks. Like we said, he did dress as a woman to hide his tattoos and to try and blend in with the crowd. Despite the fact that, like I said, the shooter was previously known to police, having threatened to kill everyone with knives and swords in 2019.
Oh, fun!
So I think it was a family member who was like, look, his behavior is getting increasingly disturbing.
Yeah.
We're getting a little concerned, and now he's threatening to harm himself and, quote, kill everyone with knives. So they were like, okay, let's maybe take a look at this. So despite that and the fact that Illinois supposedly has stricter gun laws than a lot of other places in the United States, he was able to obtain a firearm owner's identification card, and the 2 rifles that he used in the shooting, as well as the 3 additional firearms that they found in his home, were legally obtained using that identification
card. And I hate when that's always pointed out. We're like, well, he got the gun legally. Like, it's a positive thing. I'm like, no, that's even more fucked
up. No, it doesn't make any sense. Because when
why are these background checks so shitty?
Well, yeah, they went into his house to confiscate all of his knives. They confiscated his knives, 16 of them, in 2019 when they were like, he's clearly unstable and he's threatening to hurt himself and other people. So they confiscated all of those weapons, but he was legally able to obtain at least 5 different firearms.
Who was it? Was it like law enforcement that got rid of those knives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so he was able to obtain these, 2 of them being kind of AR-15 style weapons.
Right, yeah.
So Highland Park does have a ban on assault rifles, which made members of that community, of course, feel more safe to be out in big groups like that. However, it doesn't prevent people from bringing guns from nearby cities. And this shooter was from a nearby city called Highwood and brought it from there. Of course, right. Just drove it into...
It's city to city. It's mm-hmm. not like there's any real... There's no checkpoints or anything like that.
Yeah. So many people have drawn comparisons between the safe apprehension of this violent mass shooter to the recent police shooting of 25-year-old Jaylen Walker, who was a black man from Akron, Ohio. So that was a week before. So exactly a week before, the Monday prior.
Yeah.
He was shot more than 60 times when he attempted to flee the scene of a traffic violation. Why there were over a dozen cops pulling him over for a traffic violation.
Why were there even a dozen cops around? Why are you all in one place like that, spread out?
It's very strange.
It seems weird,
you know,
to me.
Jaylen Walker did take off, you know, and there was a little bit of a police chase, and then he ended up getting out of his car and fleeing the scene, and that's when they shot him 60 times.
That's too much.
It's a lot of times.
What is his name? Amadou. He was, what was it? It was like 300 shots fired in New York. It was like a really famous case. I want to say his first name was Amadou.
And I can't remember. I don't know.
There's a great documentary about it. I'm cursing myself for not remembering it, but it was another police shooting where it was like hundreds of shots and you hear the audio of it and you're just like, there's no way that this has to be for one person. You know what I mean? It's just astronomical. Yeah, it's so cruel.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, Jaylen Walker was unarmed.
Yeah.
So there was really, because of course, what the police have said is that they were like, he was getting into a firing position. We thought he had a gun and he was going
to
shoot at us.
But then also, if you must shoot him in the foot so he stops running. I mean, I'm not condoning shooting anybody, but it's like, why do you have to shoot someone 60 times when they're running
60
away?
Times
there's no reason for that.
60 times is a hazard to everybody in the vicinity.
Like, 100%.
Why would you ever allow a dozen cops to shoot off that many rounds period.
Yeah.
It's just,
and that's not to stop somebody, that's to kill somebody. Like, that's right. What's so, like, that mm-hmm. was their intention, was not to stop and arrest him. Their intention was to kill him at that
right.
point.
Right. And so a lot of people are drawing comparisons between, you know, those cops having to, being so afraid of this one man who it turned out was unarmed, that they had to shoot him 60 times, and the safe apprehension of the mass shooter in Highland Park, Illinois.
Yeah. He was unharmed when he was picked up, as most kids are.
Which, you know, I get kind of like when I see things online with people talking about, oh, well, look, he got to be apprehended safely. And I'm like, yeah, look, he's a piece of shit, but that's exactly, he
but
should be.
Everybody should be apprehended safely.
Everyone
but the
should
thing
be
is
apprehended safely.
Only white people, only white dudes are apprehended safely.
I see why
safely.
The comparisons are being drawn. I think it's necessary to make those comparisons.
I think you have to be very clear in your verbiage when
right,
you say it, though.
That you're not, that you're not being like, well, if this person gets shot to death, and this
then
person should also
get
shot to death. Because I'm like, no, he's a horrible piece of shit, but like, everyone should be apprehended as safely as
possible.
Well,
and I also believe that that's not true justice either, in my opinion.
I agree, exactly.
If you actually think that somebody has done something wrong and you want to bring them to justice, the best way to do that is to let the courts do its thing. And the court system sucks. I'm not here to say we have a great justice system.
Oh,
but
a
like,
terrible justice system.
But you're at least giving that person their day in court, which they deserve as a human, rather than just killing them before they even have a chance to speak for themselves.
I don't even believe in the death penalty. Like, for me, I'm not a state-sanctioned violence person.
No.
Like, I don't think that the government should be allowed to execute people like that.
No.
And
well, because here's the thing. It has to be foolproof. You can't get it wrong. That's why we have to abolish the death penalty.
Right. I mean, and so that's kind of how I feel in this situation as well, which is like, if this person isn't actively, like if they needed to take him down while he was actively shooting people on July 4th, then I'd be like, yes, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
But if you're just apprehending someone and you can do it without killing them, you should.
Yeah. Like, that's like part of your job,
you know,
right?
So
get them there alive.
But it is, you know, every time one of these happens, I feel like this is kind of a cyclical thing, unfortunately, in the United States, where there's like a shooting murder of an unarmed black person by the police and a safe apprehension of a mass shooter. And those things almost always come back to back because this is America.
Yeah.
And that's
well,
just how
and
we roll here.
There's been like 300 mass shootings in the last 200 days. So yeah. When you have that kind of number, your variety is going to be there, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's awful. So Kamala Harris showed up in Highland Park on Tuesday, the day after the event, where she encouraged the country to, quote, stand together and speak out about why gun violence has to stop. Which to that I say, we have been.
Yeah, thank you. That's
you
so unhelpful.
You do something. Like, we have all been screaming our brains out forever. Don't tell us to be speaking out about shit. You do something about
yeah,
it, Miss Kamala.
It's very, I'm getting really irritated. With these responses from the Biden administration, where when Uvalde happened, you know, Biden was out there just being like, this is unacceptable. We have to do something. It's like
you're
the
one to do it.
You're the president. Like,
why are you
something.
Looking at us? Exactly. Well, speaking of Biden, he spoke out on Monday against the events that happened. And from the White House lawn, he touted the gun safety law he had signed less than 2 weeks ago.
Okie dokie.
Yep. When the president was asked whether the bill he signed could have made a difference on Monday, he said he didn't know the circumstances yet. So to me, it kind of seems like he was like, this is a tragedy. Good thing I signed that bill a couple weeks ago. Really? Is this an appropriate time to be bringing that up? I just feel like this administration is just like so dropped the ball on every single facet of our government.
I mean, look, we are so screwed, not to be super negative, but we are screwed in every sense of the word, because neither party has our best interest at heart. We continue to vote for Democrats because the other option is like far right white supremacy fascism. So we're like, we're put
what are
into
we supposed
a corner
to do?
Where it's like, yeah, what are we supposed to do? Because we have a two-party system. It's designed to never be destroyed, because it's not in the best interest of the people in charge for the two-party system to be destroyed.
Yeah.
So we are put in a position where it's like, okay, well, I guess we just have to keep voting for a very ineffective party that doesn't have our best interest at heart and won't actually do anything to help us when we need the help.
Yeah.
Because the other option is to vote for a party that actively wants to kill most of us.
Like, exactly. It's like,
those are our options. It's truly like, what?
She has her hands to her face, everybody.
Yeah, man. I'm really...
I hear you. could not agree more with you, sweetheart. Good thing we do a podcast together.
Indeed. Do you have anything else you'd like to discuss today?
Kind of, sort of. Why don't you go with what you want to talk about?
Okay, I have some semi-good news.
Okay, great. So let's do it.
Okay.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
So a Polish court, and I say semi-good news because the news is good.
But it came out of a bad thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I'm just like, I didn't know that was a thing that was happening. But in the interest to try and be a little bit more worldwide with our coverage, because I do realize, listen, y'all, America's bonkers right now.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, it's hard to reach out when there's so much shit going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. But I didn't even know that this was happening in Poland. Polish courts ruled that LGBT free zones must be abolished, which didn't even know that was a thing that was
going
on in Poland.
There were LGBT free zones?
Mm-hmm. So the ruling, which was passed on Tuesday, the 28th of June, orders various local authorities that declared themselves free of LGBT ideology in 2019 to reverse their position. So there was just like areas that were like free of LGBT everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So since they're...
Could you live there if you were gay?
I don't think you could be out with it.
Signs up?
If you are from Poland, please tell me how this works.
Yeah, this seems wild.
So since their declaration, the European Commission has had its eyes on Poland, saying that the zones may violate the European Union's law regarding discriminatory legislation on the grounds of sexual orientation, which would make sense.
100%.
It feels pretty discriminatory to me. Not a legal scholar, but... So there was a legal challenge from a Polish human rights organization, and it prompted a ruling that the LGBT-free zones must come to an end. So removing the LGBTQ-free zones has been a really long process. A lot of pro-LGBTQ activists in Poland have been working basically since these came up to be
no kidding.
How do we get these taken down? So the initial law in April of 2019 declared that LGBTQ plus rights aim to, quote, annihilate the values shaped by the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And vowed.
Correct.
And vowed to. I'm sorry, this, their words, not mine. And vowed to fight against so-called homo propaganda.
All right.
In these areas.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So several other districts, so that started in one district in April of 2019, and then several other districts were like, us
too.
This is too.
A great idea.
We want to be terrible too. Yes. So they said that they did this in an attempt to protect children, young people, families, and Polish schools.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we talked about this in our same-sex marriage episode that just came out, but just this whole, like, vilifying, you know, people in the LGBTQ community as like groomers and like scary people in bushes out to get your kids.
Yep.
You know, and I feel like,
oh, they're all just, they're groomers, mm-hmm. and they just want to keep grooming more and more people to be part of the community. You know, that's, we just want more members. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're just up our lacking.
Number. Yeah.
You know, it would just look a lot better on paper if we can get a few more in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in a social media post, the group Poland's Campaign Against Homophobia wrote, quote, today's decision is a great victory for democracy, human rights, and respect for people. So the country's capital recently celebrated a pride parade, and they combined their pride parade with Ukraine's Kyiv pride because there are so many Ukrainian refugees and immigrants in Poland right now.
Yes.
So I thought that was really lovely.
That more is than, good.
More than 300 members of the Ukrainian LGBTQ plus rights groups joined the parade because they were unable to gather in their own country. So while the fact that there were LGBTQ
free zones
in Poland is a horrific thought, and the fact that it took this many years actually to get that, you know,
reversed
is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
It did happen. You know, they fought the fight. They won the fight. So that made me feel a little bit good this week.
That's just so, it just seems so archaic to me that there would be a place. I mean, like, not to fully compare the two, but it reminds me of when there were like different water fountains for different races. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't be in this area. Well, right. Fucking why?
And I don't know how it worked. So I don't know that they could be like, no gay people can be here, because it's not like skin color.
Well,
right?
How are you going to police that? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not the same thing, but saying that.
Well, and what they're saying is like, we don't allow, I'm sure it was like, we don't allow any media that has gay characters in it, or, you know, LGBTQ plus characters.
There was no pride flags up in June.
No pride flags, no billboards that have same sex couples on them. Like, I'm sure it was all of that, and definitely no, because in these zones, I'm sure there were schools and things like that. So no books, no.
It's just, what amazes me is that people think that by taking away access to that kind of information is going to make people not come out and not realize their identities.
Yeah, it's
it
wild.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
We have had people who are LGBTQ plus forever. For as long as there have been human beings, there have been different sexualities and genders and things like that. We just now have the language to be able to discuss it. And that's why younger kids are coming out earlier and things like that, because they're knowledgeable on the subject. But just taking away that isn't going to stop people from coming out and for understanding what their identity is. It's just going to make them feel really shitty about it. It's going to make them take longer to be able to accept that about themselves.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop people from being gay.
Which, like, obviously, it's always one of those weird things to me where I'm like, you know that there's been like some level of criminalization of LGBTQ plus communities throughout the world for forever.
Yeah.
And it's never stopped there from being those people existing in the world.
They just have to be hidden. But that's the thing. Like, we've always been here. You know what I mean? They haven't gone anywhere. And taking away that information isn't going to stop what you think it's stopping. It's just hurting people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, well, I did want to give a big kind of plug for the drive that I am continuing to do. I forgot to mention it on the shorty last week, or the mini episode.
What show are you even on right now, Keegan?
I don't know. My brain. So shorties are what we call my worst dates.
Mini
once
episodes.
A month mini episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry. Last mini episode, I forgot to mention that I am doing a hygiene kit drive for our unhoused community here in Los Angeles. I would love to be able to extend it outside of Los Angeles at some point. I would actually really love to extend it to schools. Like, I think that would be really cool as well. Yeah. For like middle school.
Ooh, such a good idea.
Yeah. Cause I'm just like that. If it's not offered for free where you're at in school, then yeah. It should, but you gotta, I mean.
I know I talked about this when we were talking about the like hygiene product episode that we did, but like I remember when I was in high school, you just had to give whatever you had. So if you had like a penny or a dime, like you had to give something still.
I mean,
to get anything. And I'm like, well, fuck, what if I had no coins on me and I'm just bleeding?
But you know what? I still think that that's a better policy than most schools have.
Like, yeah, it's true.
I don't think that my school had anything on hand. Like maybe if you went to the nurse, they might have something.
Yeah, you had to go to the nurse's office to like get that stuff. But yeah, it should be in bathrooms. And you know what? Every school bathroom should be like when you go to like a nice bar and there's like a little basket with like some hair ties and some hairspray and some Tic Tacs and some tampons.
Yeah,
you know?
Agree.
I don't know where the schools are getting this money, but...
Yeah, but you know what? If we did enough drives, then they would have the products available.
100%.
Just put out somewhere.
Yeah, so give them the deets of where they can help out with this drive.
So you can donate products or bags. Last year, this idea was born from going through quarantine and subscribing to Ipsy because the only joy I was having in my life was getting a once a month package in the mail. But I ended up with like a bunch of little tiny cosmetic bags that I was like, I'm never going to use all these bags.
Yeah.
So originally we were using those bags. If you would like to send those, if you have like a bunch of them like I did and you want to donate those, you can DM me for details on where to send those. But otherwise, you can purchase bags or products from the link in our bio. So check that out. And I think I'm going to run the drive for like through the end of August.
Great.
So you got a little bit of time if you're interested in that. Last year, we were able to donate about 150 bags. This year already, I have 77 filled.
Love
and
it.
Tons of
extra products, right?
Tons of products that I haven't even touched yet. So we want to definitely surpass last year.
You got it. You're on your way. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, everybody. If you're able to do that, please help out with this wonderful donation drive that Keegan is doing. If there are any future topics that you would like for us to discuss, you can email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or you can direct message us on our Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the fellow listeners on the group page. Last but not least, if you haven't done so already, we would greatly appreciate a 5-star review with a quick sentence about why you enjoy the show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us out so very much and we love reading what you have to say. All right, that's all we got for today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye!
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care. Dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.